Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning and greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as I go into your word this morning, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to be with me, to open my mind and my heart, Father, to be receptive to this word so I can grow in knowledge, in truth, and in wisdom, so that I can be of more and greater help to those that are out there walking in darkness, Father, to be able to help them to come to a knowledge of knowing that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ to bring them, Father, to Him so that they can repent and receive their forgiveness to start their life new and fresh, Father, and on the road of Thy kingdom with Your family, and not the family of this world and Satan's family. Now, Father, be with me throughout this study, and I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 14 has a lot in it for mankind. And it has caused a lot of controversy. No, because man does not want to listen to the truth of God's word, nor the strength of it. Verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, we studied yesterday about this gift of charity. We know that is a gift of God's love. And we are to walk with that kind of love ourselves for all of mankind. Now, and we all should be prophesying, yes. Because you see, this prophesying is means that we are sharing God's word, this gospel word, with others. Sighing is about. Not like a lot of things that others take it to be. But anyway, now, two, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit. Now here once again, in verse 2, there's been a lot of controversy about that. And in my footnote in my Bible, it says the unknown tongue in this chapter, whensoever it occurs, the tongues, it was supplied by the translators. Paul's discussion of tongues followed the same idea as the tongue in Acts, which were foreign language and translated by recipients. You see, that's not so. There is a difference in the unknown tongue and tongues. Tongues is different languages. The unknown tongues is the language of all, the Spirit and Almighty God. Now, most don't teach that because, in fact, they don't understand it, so they don't know it. And to them, they just want to be speaking about tongues. And they really got no idea what they're talking about to begin with. Now, three. But he that prophesied, speaking unto men, to edification and exhortation and comfort. Pardon. You see, we are to always be speaking to others for edification. In other words, the things that will better them and to help them along the way. Four, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church, because all understanding be speaking in the known language. Now, five. Paul says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. See, what we speak in the church should always be to edify the church, to lift it up, and the members therein, to lift them up, not to be speaking things that they don't understand, and that is doing them no good whatsoever. Now, you see, there's a rule for tongues. We'll be getting into that a little later. Six. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, something that is known. Seven. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinct in the sound. How shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? You see, it was a time back in those days to where your armies in different preparations, there was a trumpet or a bugle used to get you prepared for what they were wanting of you. And if somebody couldn't blow what was supposed to be blown, you wouldn't know what to do, would you? And how to get ready. And that's what he's talking about there. 9. So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world that none of them is without significance. Now, 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. You see, when we speak things that they don't understand, in the eyes of God, we're being a barbarian unto them. Now, 12. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. The gifts you look for, the gifts you want from the Holy Spirit, make sure you're wanting them for the right reason, and that is to edify the church and the members thereby. Now, 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Although you're speaking in God's language, you don't know even what you're praying. The Spirit is praying for you, and you don't understand at that time. Now, God may reveal it to you, and he may give you an interpretation. But unless he does, you'll not know what is being said. Now, he goes on to tell us here in 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So you see, when you seek that gift also, seek for the interpretation so that you can do both. You can sing in the Spirit and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And you can also sing in the natural and with your understanding. Now, 16. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he and occupied the room of the emperor and say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. You see, those that are sitting around and they can't understand what is being said. And we're going to find out what all of this causes. 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. You see, you speaking in the tongue, you can give thanks well, but others are sitting by. They're not edified. They're not helped at all. In fact, they get a little mixed up. 18. I thank my God I speak the tongues more than you all, always letting them know. He's not against tongues, because he speaks in tongues more than they all. But he goes on to let them know. Yet in the church, you see what Paul's telling, he's using that tongue on his own. Because in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Think about that. You'd rather speak 5 words in the understandable language than 10,000 in tongues. Because you see, those 5 words, they could get understanding of what he was saying and what was meant. But in that whole 10,000, they've got no idea of anything. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. 21. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, 22 tells us, here it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. When you see our churches today has took that right back. A little later on, they'll be told what they need to do about it. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. Now back up there, 23. Therefore the whole church be come together unto one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that you are mad? You got the whole church sitting there speaking in tongues at the same time. You're mad to them. You're a barbarian. They're subject to get up and leave, but they won't come back. Even though they may stay that time, they won't be back. But if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one alone, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You see, because when he comes in and he understands what is being said, what's going on, it's the word of God convinces him and also convicts him. And it will lead him into falling down to worship God and to repent and get whatever it is that they are in need of. Now, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let it all be done now unto edifying the church. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, now, you see, we're not to deny them to speak, but there is rules for it. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. And that by course. So there can be three speak in tongues. But when they do, and let one interpret, even though they're speaking in tongues, one is to interpret what they are saying. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. If he's got no one that can interpret what he's saying, then don't do it in the church. No. Now, 29. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first own his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. You see, we can all speak in church, speaking in the known language, prophesying. They were sharing the word of God. Now, 32. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, he's getting ready again here to give us rules that today in a lot, and I'm talking about a lot, a large percentage of our churches, as in all churches of the saints. How many of our churches? All. As in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, that they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. They will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What came the word of God out from you, or came in unto you only? And look how many churches we have today that are being pastored by the church. There's no way actually that she can really be the pastor of the church. Think about this thing. No way she can really be pastor of your church. She's told that before, well, she's been told she can't speak in church. Her do so is a shame. That don't mean they can't come in and speak to each other and say hello. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about them getting up and speaking to the church. That's what she's not supposed to do. That's what is a shame. Now, over in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, starting here with verse 9, let's read what God tells that woman. It tells you she is a pastor. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, all this ornament that they love, only God's not supposed to really wear. He tells them how to dress them. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man to be in silence. But I want you to notice that verse 12. But I suffer not. That word suffer means two things. Allow and permit. So what are you saying right there? But I allow not, or I permit not, a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And he goes on to tell why. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. Adam was not deceived but the woman. Now, we'll get into more of that later when we get back into that part of the New Testament. But I wanted you to see why it's over here as it is in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues. Just make sure it's done the right way. 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's how we are to establish our churches and have them to operate. We've come to the end of chapter 14. Now I pray that you've got something out of this that's helped you along the way. Now, and not just to make you angry at me, but if you had your Bible and you followed me, you know it's there. It's not me. It is God's Word. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we told your Word, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray for Israel, and we pray for this land, Father, that they both repent, and both can have peace, and both, Father, will receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior and as their Messiah. And Father, I pray that those that follow along with me and that is part of this ministry, that as we separate this day, that they walk in health and in safety, guided by your hand and your love and thy word. I'll be with us, Father, throughout this day, touching each and every one of us. And we know that you love us all. And Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless.
I get up, I'm going to have to put that on another.